Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Maybe throw in a please at the end. Hey, congrats to everybody who just took the NPTE. Here's to hoping things turn out well. And for those who are looking ahead to the next test in July, we just launched a new podcast that gives you amazing NPTE study info for free. It's called NPTE StudyCast, and it's a podcast that walks you through many of the pathologies that come up on the test. We cover what you need to know for free on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are heard. NPTE StudyCast, now brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing, the leader in travel PT. Find those guys online at AureusMedical.com. NPTE StudyCast is now available with new episodes coming out weekly. Today on the show, we take a look inside Limb Loss Awareness Month with a fellow PT from Fox Rehabilitation. Some things you didn't know about limb loss. Sam, who's on the show today, is an expert. You will get a lot out of this episode. It's brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for certification in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training and the equipment you need to apply it. Find out more information about Johnny Owens and BFR training online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pinecast.
May I introduce...
Please allow me to introduce you to...
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Welcome to PT Pinecast. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. On the program this afternoon, one of my colleagues from Fox Rehabilitation, Sam Kelikaitis. Sam, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
We actually got to meet, and really spend some time together at CSM in Washington, D.C. just a couple months ago. It feels like a long time ago because it was the dead of winter.
Yeah, so much better now.
You are a physical therapist. And how long have you been a PT?
I've been a PT for going on 4 years this May.
And where'd you go to school?
I went to school at Rutgers Camden, their staff program.
We wanted to get you on the show and talk a little bit about the fact that it's actually a special month. It's Limb Loss Awareness Month, and yeah. I know that because I follow you on Twitter, and you've been slowly and steadily sharing some statistics about limb loss and limb loss awareness and amputations, and give us one or two that really, really shocks people.
2 million people are living with limb loss in the United States.
Wow.
And among those living with limb loss, the main cause of their limb loss is due to a vascular disease. So it could be from diabetes, peripheral artery disease. And a lot of those amputations end up being preventable. So we can stop these, we can stop the cost, and we can stop the disability that occurs as a result of these amputations.
Man, there are an average of 507 amputations every day in the United States. Of course, I'm reading off of your Twitter feed, and this is all hashtag Limb Loss Awareness Month. You could follow along and learn. Why are you so passionate about sharing information like this? What's your story?
Well, to start off, I'm a congenital amputee. So I was actually born without my right hand, and it was something like my parents didn't know I was going to be born that way. I came out, and there was. So that's where it hits home for me. I grew up my whole life, you know, having this, it's still considered an amputation, and living with this limb difference. You know, I have a few different obstacles to overcome. And that's where my interest in amputation and limb loss start. But then as a physical therapist, a lot of my patients I see in South Philadelphia are amputees that within the last year have had an amputation, and I'm working on getting them back integrated into the community, getting them out of their home so they're not homebound anymore.
I love that you're here in this profession with us. How was that when you decided to be a physical therapist, and where some people might say, well, you can't do that because you don't have a right hand? Talk me through that. Was there resistance? Was there people embracing it, or how did it go?
I never had any resistance.
Good.
But at least I felt outwardly. There were people behind the scenes that were saying that. I never felt that or viewed that. There were some people that had slight concerns about, like, you know, how are you going to do this? Like, what environments are better? But it was kind of one of those things where it's like, I just have to try it and figure it out. And, you know, I'll bounce ideas back and forth with my clinical instructors, with my professors, and even sometimes other students about how I can modify what I'm doing to match what they're doing.
People should follow you on Twitter. If for only this picture that you put up a little while ago, and your Twitter feed is at 5 Phantom Fingers, the number 5 Phantom Fingers. And do you know which picture I'm talking about? You holding the beer?
Me holding the beer? Oh, yeah. That one's great. I love that one.
I love that one, man. And you just holding the beer and you're like, I'm not, you know, I don't really see a disability here. I got a beer. I got a burger on the other hand, and I'm good to go. How do your patients react, or do they?
I don't think I've ever gotten a patient that was nervous or scared about my limb loss and working with them. I usually just get people, and I love working with the older adults because at this point they just say what's on their mind. And they always ask me, within the first half hour, what happened to your hand? And because there's a war going on, I get that asked all the time. I'm like, right. No, it wasn't that. Like, I was just born this way. I think they appreciate that, like, I understand more what disability is, how it affects someone, and I just have a different perspective when I'm coming in and treating them and getting them up and moving.
I'm sure you have some great, like, one-liners, though, right? Like, because you've been, you know, asked that question your entire life, right? You probably have some good comebacks.
All the time for different things. People ask me if I need help. I'm like, I can handle it. That's my go-to. Oh, can you help me? I'm like, oh, I'll lend you a hand, but I have to have it back.
I just love how you bring it. You bring it back to them, and that makes it more relatable. Because look, if you're both laughing, once you start laughing about it after you say that, they understand that okay, we can joke about this, and then the tension. I mean, it's mostly gone then, right?
Yeah, it really diffuses any tension or like awkwardness about the situation. So it makes that working relationship I have with people just flow a little more easier early on.
Yeah. That's great. All right, well, let's get into some of this. So limb loss and difference. What do you want to talk about there? Let's start.
The difference between limb loss and limb difference is, well, I have a difference. I was born differently. There's people that have several fingers or some type of deformity, sometimes called like a symmodactyly. Some people have a pinky and a thumb. Some people just have a few fingers here and there. Sometimes it's bilateral. It's on both hands. It could even be of the feet. And that's the limb difference. The limb loss is something that goes through an amputation, whether it's traumatic or surgical, like they got removed due to a vascular issue, or they've been in a car accident or some type of accident where they had to have a limb amputation.
36% of people living with limb loss or limb difference experience depression. I'm just going to throw some of these stats out there that I'm getting from your Twitter feed. There was one I saw where it said, what was the percentage that didn't return to work after an amputation? That's huge.
Yeah, I think it was close to 69% of people with limb loss return to work. So you're looking at 31% aren't. What happens to them?
What happens? It's the big question. Yeah.
I mean, you know, now they're on disability, or now they're taking up other resources, and now they're stuck at home, and they're not living, or they might not feel like they're living a purposeful life.
What are the reasons? Is it internal? They don't want to go back because of the limb loss and maybe some psychological issues. Maybe they can't return to work because their job required it, and they don't know how to change their role. What are the many reasons?
In that paper that I took that statistic from, that was counting even people that returned to careers outside of what they actually participated in or prior to the amputation. So they could have gotten a different job. Let's say they were a construction worker. They went back to work in a different area where they didn't need to do that physical labor anymore that was limited by their current amputation.
Right.
So to get back to things that are limiting them could be depression, other comorbidities that are affecting their recovery. It could be lack of access to proper care. So then maybe they're not getting to physical therapy or occupational therapy to get better and to be able to return to work or integrate back into the community. There is also insurance issues. Sometimes some insurances just won't provide enough coverage for them to get the limbs that they require to go back to certain levels of living. Some insurances only allow you to have one limb in a lifetime. Wow. Some are one a year. Some people put financial caps. And then on top of it, maybe your insurance doesn't cover 100% of that cost of that limb. These prosthetics aren't cheap.
Lifetime healthcare costs for people with limb loss average $509,000, and that's compared to $360,000 for persons without limb loss. I mean, you're talking
about $150,000 more.
Yeah. Yeah, 85% of lower leg amputations start with a foot ulcer. And that kills us as physical therapists, because we know those are preventable, right? So talk a little bit about the PT's role in limb loss and limb loss prevention.
Yeah, so what I do a lot, and what I keep trying to encourage caregivers and colleagues do, is like, if you have an older adult and you have somebody that has diabetes, you should be checking their feet. I mean, that's number one, you know, and then educating regarding foot care, especially if they're not taking care of it well, the skin's dried out, they're wearing improper footwear, and preventing and getting ahead of these issues that can cause them more disability later.
When we hear that, you know, you and I were talking about an individual before we hit the record button who had a limb loss and hadn't seen a PT for a year. Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, did an eval earlier, gotten an amputation in 2018. It was a transfemoral, and that was his third amputation on that leg. Went to rehab for close to 3 weeks, came home, and nothing. You know, got his leg while he was in rehab, was walked around the house, and, you know, as that leg atrophied, started not fitting very well, got loose, and all of a sudden it started just rotating while he's just standing in it because he no longer fit. But in no time was he, you know, gone back to that doctor to get another prescription for physical therapy. When he came out of that inpatient rehab unit, he wasn't prescribed therapy either. So there was nobody following up with him on a consistent basis, making sure that he's, you know, progressing in the right way towards an independent life again.
Right.
So he's missed out on things like graduation of family members, weddings, funerals that he wasn't able to attend because he would never really gain that independent ability to walk in the community.
As PTs, that's just, I mean, everything you just said is just brutally painful for us because
yeah,
we know.
It's like this kind of disheartening. It's like, well, somebody should have been here supporting you and helping you get back to this purposeful life that you live. There was just, it just fell through the cracks.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about difficulties in prosthetic coverage. You know, you talked about it earlier. Of course, all different insurance plans are different. Some cover everything. Some cover nothing. Some things cover one a year or one lifetime. So talk about some other difficulties in prosthetic coverage because they're important.
There's so many different insurances, different coverage models. And really what people living with amputation need is to have this comprehensive coverage and something where it's more fair for them or for us to be able to get this coverage so we can live independently and be purposeful in life again.
Yeah.
So if you limit somebody to, you know, one a year, well, you know, after you have an amputation, your limb shrinks over time. It atrophies that muscle that's there. So you're going to need a secondary limb at some point to replace the one you have because you're just not going to fit in it anymore. And then on top of it, some give you a lifetime coverage. So like what I mean by that is the dollar amount total is for your whole life with that insurance plan. So they might be maxed out at, you know, $100,000, $200,000 of care. You know, you might exceed that. You know, you don't know what other complications might arise, what new prosthetics they might need. If they start progressing so well that they need a new type of knee so that they can become a higher level ambulator in the community. Because not all these types of prosthetics are meant for each level of environment. You might need to progress slowly through that as you become better through your rehab.
Yeah, and that's important to identify as soon as you start working with a patient is what things are at our disposal right now in terms of covered. Let's make sure we use everything that's covered. Last thing, what we wanted to hit while we got you on the phone, this idea, people with limb loss are not disabled. They are differently abled. And I like how that is phrased. How does that make you feel?
I love it. I mean, for me, I've never grew up viewing myself as disabled. I just went out and I just went and lived my life and did the things I could. I remember I grew up and I played a lot of baseball and people are like, oh, you throw the ball so well. You pitch so well for having one hand. I'm like, but throwing is a one-handed activity. Like, and it's like, I'm not like, just because I have one hand doesn't mean that like the whole entire mechanics of my life are totally changed. I can still do many things and I'm just going about it with some more obstacles and some more differences. And it's just not, I just move and do things a little bit differently. That's why I think it's important to say differently able. They're still able-bodied. They're still able to, you know, participate in the community, participate in work and live these purposeful lives. And we should encourage that and not hold people back from that.
Yeah, I love that. When you hear someone talking about baseball and one hand, you know, Jim Abbott comes up. There's other players, but he's kind of one of the most prominent. I mean, threw a no-hitter for the New York Yankees, won a gold medal. But that's great. I love that. Differently abled is definitely the way I love to hear it. You ready for three questions right now?
Oh, yes, I am.
Here we go.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
Three questions brought to you by Arias Medical Staffing. Just talking with those guys about their mentorship program not long ago. A lot of people, worried about, especially new grads going into a travel experience and, where they're going to get their mentorship. They have an entire program just for that. They heard that as a reason maybe not to travel right out of school, and they said, listen, we'll set something up, and they do that. If you're worried about your license from state to state, housing, taxes, all that stuff, they've got someone that handles that. So if you're thinking about travel physical therapy, check them out. They've been with me the entire time I've had this show, AURUSmedical.com. All right, so on three questions, you are in Philadelphia, right in downtown. But if you are given an opportunity to go be a PT anywhere in the United States, where would you go for 13 weeks?
I think I would love to go to Austin, Texas. Been there a couple times, done some different things, but I feel just the environment, the city, the accessibility of everything, and just like what I love to do being outdoors, is just great. So I think that's where I would want to go if I went back to traveling.
I did a day and a half in Austin, Texas, and it was the longest 4 days of my life because you just don't sleep while you're there. Austin's a cool town. You can spend some time in and get lost.
Yeah.
Second question, what's something you read that really inspired you?
Lately, some of these statistics I've been seeing with the amputees, some of them that I didn't even know as a physical therapist or an amputee, and I take a lot of them to heart as far as, that's what really hit home with me is the statistics. And the biggest thing is how preventable some of these amputations are.
Yeah. The overarching number, over 3.6 million people in the United States will be living with limb loss by 2050. And I think that's I'd love to mess that statistic up and make it wrong. And I think PTs are in a great position to do that. Literally just by paying attention to some things, like you said, paying attention to feet and footwear is a super simple way to do it. Takes a few seconds, takes a few minutes to do it, the entire assessment, but man, that can make a big, big difference in someone's life. Let's flip the third question. Third question is usually, who is someone that you think the audience should know more about? We'll flip this for Limb Loss Awareness Month. What is something that a physical therapist listening right now should do, somewhere they can go to learn more about persons living with limb loss?
There's a lot of great resources, and I think the number one place to start would be at the amputeecoalition.org. They have a bunch of things for donor support. They do a lot of advocacy at the state and the national level to improve coverages and improve the lives of amputees. And they also provide a ton of resources for those that are amputees, like fundraisers, informational handouts, peer visitor information. They have support group information and a lot of resources for professionals and for patients.
That's perfect. That's great. Yeah, I think any PT listening is going to want to know, hey, where do I go to learn more? And that's perfect, the coalition. Last thing we do on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. They're more than just a tape company. They're a movement company. Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer, with the best kinesiology tape, cutting-edge education, and fitness support products. Rock Tape wants people to move more and move better. Find them online at rocktape.com/medical. What's the one thing you'd want colleagues to take away from the fact that you've focused an entire month on being aware of it? What's one mic drop moment you'd want to leave with them?
I'm going to go back to that differently able, just like that patient that I had that hadn't been up and moving for a while. We need to be on top of these people that we live with, and we need to get them up and get them out, because they need to return to their lives and be purposeful again.
Follow Sam on his Twitter feed. Love the stuff you're putting up there right now for statistics. It is the number 5 Phantom Fingers on Twitter. Appreciate your time, giving us some insight into this and really highlighting, to be honest, a month I didn't know we had a month dedicated to this until you pointed it out. So I appreciate you doing that.
You're welcome, Jimmy. Thanks for having me.
Want to thank Brooks Rehabilitation, their Institute of Higher Learning, for sponsoring the show. Residency and fellowship opportunities is what they offer. Check them out at brooksihl.org. Also, hosting their 4th annual scholarly symposium that's going on June 22nd in Jacksonville, Florida. Information about the symposium can be found at brooksihl.org. Keynote presentation this year by the editor of PTJ, Alan Jetty. I'll be on hand doing some talks and some live podcasting. Looking for CEUs and to expand your knowledge base? look no further than brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet. PTPintcast.com. Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.